Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Internet Radio Nowhere. Hi, everybody. Hey, welcome to Friday Night, Internet Radio Nowhere. I'm Jim, your host. You probably know me from Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We're gonna do things a little differently tonight since I've already got a call on hold. We're gonna bring Robbie right on. He promised me he'd call in. Robbie, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. I know what you want to talk about, but here since we got a big win tonight, let's play this.
Meet the Met, step right up and greet the Met. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life, because the Met are really stocking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody coming down to meet the M-E-T-S Met of New York.
New York Times. Give
some Met. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life. Because the Mets are really stopping the ball. Knocking those home runs over the wall. East side, west side, everybody come and
so, Robbie, R.A. Dickey pitched a one-hitter, and do I understand it right? The only person who got a hit was Cole Hamels?
Yes, that is correct.
Jesus. You know, I'm telling you, I know we just had this conversation on Facebook with between me, you, and our buddy Newman, but,
yeah.
You know, even though they've never had a no-hitter, I think, was it you or Newman said they have 32 one-hitters in their history?
That was Newman.
I would be willing to bet, and I don't know where you can, somebody's got to have that stat somewhere, but I'll bet that's more one-hitters than any team has since 1962. I would be willing to bet if it's not the top, it's got to be near it. I mean, it seems like the Mets can rattle off one-hitters like nobody's business. I mean, I think Steve Traxel pitched back-to-back one-hitters back when he was with the Mets.
I think he did too, yeah. And then he had an one in early June, and then I remember Martina Pedro did it in 05 and then Glavin in 04. And I says, you know, maybe you'll never see. I would rather see a World Series, though. That would be better than a no-hitter.
Well, yeah, I'm with you there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you might be a little too young to remember, but I think it was probably the 99 playoffs that they played the Giants, or 2000?
No, that was 2000.
2000. When they played the Giants, Bobby Jones threw a one-hitter, and that was one of the best pitch games I've ever seen. I mean, the Giants, he wasn't a great pitcher. He just, you know, if he had a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, I'd be amazed. He was mostly just curves and off-speeds and, you know, paint-the-corners type stuff. But that was one of the best pitch games I've ever seen. The Giants couldn't touch him that day. And it's just amazing not only how many one-hitters they've had in their history, but how many great pitchers they've had. And they've had a lot of great pitchers. And a lot of them have gone on to throw no-hitters elsewhere. I mean,
that's a very frustrating thing.
You know, of course, Nolan Ryan. Gooden did it. Cone did it. Who else did we just mentioned a few minutes ago. I mean, it's just, and they've had other great pitchers like Saberhagen and Viola and Santana and Pedro, and they've just never been able to get one. Rick Reed. You remember Rick Reed? You remember him?
Yeah.
He had a perfect game. I think it was into the. I remember him taking a perfect game into the, I think it was the seventh or eighth inning against the Tampa Bay. They were still the Devil Rays then.
Yeah.
And Wade Boggs got the first hit off of him. And he lost the no-hitter. And then I think the next guy up got on, or no, I'm sorry. Let me see. I think a guy walked. So he lost the perfect game. And then Boggs got up and got a hit. So he lost the no-hitter. And then the next guy got up and got another hit. So he lost the shutout. It was just crazy, and I was at Shea Stadium one night in the 80s when Gooden took a no-hitter against the Phillies into the eighth inning. They've had so many close calls. Seaver took a perfect game into the ninth inning against the Phillies. I think it was the Phillies.
No, I'm not sure. That was in 69, right? You talking about?
68 or 69, I don't remember.
69. It was July 9th, yeah.
I think he got the first 26 outs and then gave up a hit. I mean, they've had so many close calls.
It's just, you never know. Yeah, maybe it will come. I don't know. But, you know, I'm happy that they got a win tonight. I can't believe it. I wouldn't mind it as much if Hamels didn't get – if it was Hamels, then I hate him because that's the way his choke artist. If it were anyone else, I wouldn't mind it as much. But if it had to be him breaking up, that's very frustrating.
Yeah.
But it's a good win tonight, and then they got Michigan Talladega tomorrow, so – this is ever since, like I said, I said this on Banta, ever since the Flyers knocked out the Rangers, I have been livid with Philadelphia, and I vowed that the Mets would take care of the Phillies, please get some punishment back for them.
Oh, well, my hatred for Philadelphia goes back a long time. Like I've always said, the only good things about Philadelphia are Rocky Balboa cheesesteaks and pretzels. That's about it.
She's like, I've only been there. I went in 2003 to the Veterans Stadium for a Mets Phillies game, and I was like 9 years old, and I had a Mets shirt on, and they still gave me. They didn't give me anything, but they, especially, you're a Giants fan, right?
Oh yeah.
Football. Oh yeah. Well, I like them, but you know, I'm a Jets. But have you ever been to a Giants Eagles game?
Yes. I've been to a Giants Eagles game at Veterans Stadium, and I've been to I think two Giants Eagles games at Giants Stadium.
How did you? Why would you want to, Jim? They threaten you. Why would you go there?
Well, let's see. Why did I go there? It was when I went there. It was I want to say 85. I was only like 15 years old. My dad said, you know, we didn't get many, you know, there aren't many opportunities for Giant fans to go to the games.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Season
that's
ticket,
true.
You know, the season tickets, they're, you know, sold out. And we were living in South Jersey, and my dad said, you know, why don't we see if we can get tickets and we'll go to the Vet. So we did.
Yeah,
it wasn't too bad. I don't remember it being that bad.
Eagles fans, I mean, they're completely, they throw, I've never been to an Eagles game, but they throw batteries. I recall one time in the seventh level, which is like kind of like their blue seat section.
I don't mean to throw it off
into the rim, but yeah. They urinate in public. It's just remember the time where the Flyers went through the stink bomb against the Devils?
Yeah. Did you see the Phillies fan that he just got sent to jail the other day? The Phillies fan that vomited on a guy and his daughter. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
When you get a chance, when you go on Google and just Google Philly fan vomits. The guy was drunk, and he was arguing with this guy in front of him who was with his daughter, and he stuck his fingers down his throat and threw up on the guy and his daughter. And in typical asshole Philly fan fashion, the guy he vomited on was an off-duty cop.
Oh, my God. Well, that's a good person to throw off on. At least he can rest them.
Yeah.
When I went to I actually remember the date. I have a good memory sports date. So Sunday, September 7th of 2008, it was down the stretch when Shea got back and the Mets were playing the Phillies. It was a doubleheader. I went to the night game. And there were 8-9 fights. And I actually I recall one guy also having a Flyers hat on, and I didn't want to say anything because I'm like a kid. I don't, but it just, they're completely, I would never want to go to a Rangers-Flyers game unless if you're behind, like, the Rangers bench or down low, because you never know what they're going to do. They could do something like they threaten you, and they're homicidal. Well, not really, but you get the idea.
They're psychotic is what they are. I've gotten to Ranger-Flyer game. I've gone to a couple of Ranger-Flyer games, but they were all at the old Spectrum. And I'll tell you a quick funny story. I went to a Rangers Flyers game. Mid 80s, 84, 85, 86, somewhere in there. I forget who I was with. And anyway, I'm wearing my Rangers jersey. It was the blue one with that said New York down the front instead of the Rangers, because they were still wearing.
Oh, that's even worse, because it says New York. You were on the Rangers.
They were still wearing those jerseys, so I wore my jersey. And Don Maloney was still playing for the Rangers, and he got awarded a penalty shot, right?
Yeah.
The crowd's going berserk, right? All these Flyer fans, I mean, the whole arena's on their feet yelling and screaming, right?
Yeah.
Maloney skates in. He scores. Everybody sits down, and I just stood up and started going nuts.
Oh, what did they do to you?
Nothing. Nothing. They were cool, but I was young. I was young. Yeah, I was 14 or 15.
I mean, Jim. That's very dangerous. Because, and I'm telling you, and I think it all just comes down to this. This comes down back to the Phillies, though. It's one thing for the fans to hate and be jealous of New York, but it's one thing for the players, the Phillies. I mean, I'm talking about the, not really the Flyers, but with Hamels and Rollins. Just like, for them to publicly, like, take shots at the Mets, it's just, they're professional athletes making millions of dollars. Why do you have the need to just? They're painfully, painfully jealous of the city of New York. They hate the Mets. They hate the Giants. They hate the Rangers. They hate the Yankees then because of last year. But they just—it comes on this. So they'll deny it, but they're painfully jealous of New York. All of them.
Yeah.
The
well, I'll agree with you a little bit there, but the only downside of that is for the last couple of years they kind of own us, at least from my perspective, because I'm a Met fan. You know, the Phillies have done in the Mets for the last couple of years. I'm a Giants fan. The Eagles have had the better of the Giants, and they knocked them out of the playoffs 2 years ago when the Giants were defending champs, and then of course the Rangers. So, you know, but you know these things come in they come in peaks and valleys. So what are you going to do? I got a question for you. I want to see. Did you read the story? Do you read the New York Post every day?
Not really. I don't usually get the paper, but okay. If I read any paper, it's the Record. It's the Bergen County paper. Why? What did they say in the Post?
Okay, there was a story in the Post yesterday. Now this is since Eddie's not here, I could talk about this because it's Knicks related, but it ties it. I'm going to tie it into the Rangers.
Okay.
And you know the Knicks were going to hire Isaiah as a consultant, right?
That's what I was going to say on Wednesday night.
And then he backed out because he's the head coach of FIU and he can't do both jobs,
whatever.
So he backed out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Dolan said in the Post yesterday that Isaiah is still somebody he trusts and is somebody he's going to listen to and use as a consultant. And it was just all this, you know, ridiculous talk from Isaiah Thomas, who is the worst, maybe would probably rank as one of the worst coaches in New York sports history. I mean, he ranks up there with John Muckler, and he ranks up there with Art Howe and Ray Hanley from the Giants, Richie Kotite from the Jets. I'll give you one from every team. I mean, he's among the worst in New York sports history. And it really bothered me. I mean, I could care less about the Knicks, okay? You know that. A big hole could open up in the middle of Broadway and swallow them whole, and I wouldn't miss them for a minute. But it just bothered me from the standpoint of his ownership, that he is truly just a clueless buffoon when it comes to running sports teams. And it just, you know, it bothered me because I'm just thinking that from the Rangers' standpoint, it just depressed me.
I know you don't like the Knicks, but it's the same exact thing. He kept Isaiah Thomas for 5 years, and it's the same thing. What he's doing with Saints, it's very similar. And I've spoken to Knicks fans who do like the Rangers, and they follow, and, you know, I even posted this on the Facebook page, you know, remember all those Fire Isaiah rallies that they had, you know, and I said, you know, they're having one for hockey, and, you know, they're like, well, we hate Nolan. He is, and Isaiah is not the worst in New York sports history. He's the worst in sports history that I can ever remember. Nolan is just, and he cares about the Knicks more than the Rangers. Obviously I like the Knicks, but he should care about it. He's just an idiot. What's his father let him do this? What, Charles, is that his name, right?
Yeah. And Robbie, I'll find if I'm online later or tomorrow, or whatever, I'll find that article and I'll post it on your Facebook so you can take a read.
Go ahead.
And supposedly Isaiah's been bragging to his friends that it won't be long before he's running the Knicks again. You gotta be kidding me. He's obviously, I don't think he's just pulling that out of his ass. He's got to have some kind of, the conversations had to have been there where for him to put that thought in his head.
Him and Dolan are best friends. I don't see I can't. Let me tell you something. Dolan is, I'm not going to do anything, but Dolan is going to get death threats soon. I hate to say that, but he's going to. If he gets him at, and even I spoke to him, there was one Mets fan we're talking about the Knicks on the Mets Facebook page, and they said, if Isaiah is either the coach or the general manager, he's never going to a Knicks game again until Dolan sells the team. And look, you know, if Dolan sells, let's just say he sells the Rangers because the NHL wants to throw him out of the league. That's not even a good thing because let's just say an owner can just say, look, Dolan still owns the building and the Knicks and the Liberty. I don't want him playing anymore. You know, then they'll just move. I can't see them moving out of the city, which is, it's like saying, you know, the Mets or Yankees moving. But still, if Dolan were to sell the Rangers, he would have to sell the Liberty, the Knicks, Madison Square Garden, everything. And it's just,
just to make an analogy, you know, better suited for hockey, just imagine if – if they hired Brian Trottier as a consultant with the Rangers.
Well,
I mean, it would be that level of ridiculousness. All right, Robbie, that's enough about basketball. We're going to change gears here for a second because Cutter.
I understand you.
Cutter wanted to get in on the baseball conversation, so I promised him we bring him on real quick.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Before we get to some other stuff. Jeff, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Jeff, how are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Robbie?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Okay.
So you're just a guest on the Blackhawk Radio, I guess, right?
Well, I call into Moose Shirt Banter. I'm a huge Rangers fan, and I usually call into Jim and Eddie on Wednesday nights, but usually not the other show. So this is just like a one-time thing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're usually not in the chat, I guess.
No, not really. But are you a Mets or Rangers fan or Jets?
He's actually a Toronto Maple Leafs fan, and I think you're a Blue Jays fan as well. And Jeff found Eddie's Ranger Crisis site, and it kind of inspired him to do his own Leafs Crisis thing. And let me tell you, Jeff has forgotten more about hockey than a lot of people know. Let me tell you.
I like the Maple Leafs, too, because I like their fans, their, you know, original six. I feel bad for them because they have had such a long drought, and they have to deal with the Canadians. And they remind me of the Mets because, like, you know, the Mets have to deal with the Yankees with the 27 and the Maple Leafs with the Canadians 24. So I like the Maple Leafs, so I don't really care for them. But, well, I like them, rather. But anyway, so you from Toronto, or?
Actually, I'm from a city called Kitchener. We have the biggest Oktoberfest in North America in October, coming up soon.
Oh.
It's about an hour and 15 minutes southwest of Toronto, so.
Oh, all right. That's cool.
Yeah, so, yeah.
So anyway, did you want to weigh in on the baseball conversation that we were having?
I would love to weigh in on the Mets.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe how many Mets one-hitters there have been. I mean, the Mets and the Padres are the only two teams in baseball not to have a no-hitter now that Tampa's got one.
Yeah,
right.
That's true.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I had the game. For some reason, the thing, I had the game, I recorded the this game from the start. I don't know why I did it because it's the Mets Phillies. It's big. But I would have liked for me to record it just to have it, you know, when it actually happens, you know. And, you know, I give Omar credit for picking up Dickie. He's been a godsend.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact is on Sunday, remember Brendan Morrow threw his one-hitter against Tampa?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I was just flipping through the channels on my TV, and I caught the Blue Jays game, and Morrow had no hitter through five. I'm like, okay, I'll just keep watching. He'll probably blow it by the eighth inning. And then all of a sudden, after eight innings, wham, he's still got it. So I went to my computer, and I've got a program that I can record this stuff. Like, my TV is across the room from my computer, so I can record the TV stuff. So I decided to record the ninth inning. And I was in front of my computer. I was, like, hoping, come on, no hitter. And then it just trickled through Hill's glove. I'm like, oh God, no, because Toronto does have only one no hitter, and that was about almost 20 years ago when
Jimmy
Key came to Cleveland.
Was it Jimmy Key?
No, Dave Steep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And Toronto's had. I mean, Toronto. They're another team. They've had some really good pitchers over the years.
Yeah.
They had.
Go on. Sorry.
They had Jimmy Key, Dave Steeb. They had Clemens was there for a while. So, yeah, they're another team.
Only 2 years. Clemens was only there for 2 years, and that's when he met McAmey, or whatever that trainer's name is.
Oh, yeah.
I know... You know, Roy Halladay in his second start as a Blue Jay was within an out of a no-hitter. I think I mentioned this in the chat room a while ago, but Bobby Higginson was the guy who stunk up the no-hitter bid that day with a home run.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, when a pitcher is about to throw a no-hitter, at least this is what I do. I don't talk about it. I just think about winning the game, and you can't even mention it. You have to keep it in your head, and then if he gets it, he gets it. But, you know, at least that's how I feel. I'm very superstitious about anything important.
And you know what's funny is a couple of times over the years, I'll be watching the Mets and whoever's pitching as a no-hitter going, and I'll call my dad, and he answers the phone. I'll say, "Are you watching the Mets?" And, you know, he'll say no, and I'll say, "Well, that thing that's never happened is on the verge of happening. You might want to put the game on."
Oh my God! Oh, are you kidding? Oh, that's good.
So, anyway, all right, guys, listen, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do some other. I'm going to get away from the sports for a little while. But I appreciate you guys both calling in, and we'll catch you on Wednesday night. All right.
All right, no problem. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, sure.
All right, guys.
Bye-bye.
Talk
yeah.
to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Sure. All right. So we'll get away from the Knicks and Nets and Mets talk for a while because I know not everybody wants to hear that. Let's see. What do we want to do here? I got a few good clips I want to play for you guys, but Since we like to start off, play the first hour with some Bruce. Let's get a Bruce song going here. This is if you've been listening to Bruce for a long time, like I have, I'm sure you've heard the song Johnny 99, which is on the Nebraska album from I want to say 1982. It's a real slow kind of acoustic, like everything else on Nebraska was. It's an acoustic song. And he's got a real good live version of it on 1975-85, the three CD now box set. But last year when he toured, he did an up-tempo version of it, and I heard it when I saw him live in Tampa, and I've been trying to find a copy of it ever since. And last night I was able to find one, so I'm going to play this for you. This is Johnny 99. It's about 6 minutes long, but enjoy it. I'll be back with you guys on the other side.
okay?
Rheingold, always happily dry. The clean, clear taste you want in beer is in Rheingold Extra Dry. From Lexington to Madison and on both sides of Park, they ask for Rheingold Extra Dry before and after dark.
From Coney to Connecticut on Flatbush Avenue, from Jersey scenes way out to Queens, they sing as millions do. My beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Friendly, fresh thing and happily dry beer. Dry means clean and it's clean.
That stopped early. All right. Anyway, that's an old Rheingold commercial from the 50s. Rheingold beer used to be, I think it used to be brewed in one of their breweries was in Jersey City, if I'm not mistaken. And they brought Rheingold back maybe about 8 or 9 years ago. It had a brief resurgence, and and I remember buying it. It wasn't a bad beer. I've certainly had a lot worse than Rheingold, but I don't think it's around anymore. I don't think it lasted very long. But anyway, Internet Radio Nowhere, Friday night, August 13th, Friday the 13th, and we got about an hour and a half to go. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. Pretty much talk about whatever you want tonight. I got a few topics that we'll cover. And I had something I wanted to play for you guys. It was funny. I uploaded this clip that I wanted to play just because I think it's funny and I thought the movie was funny. And then yesterday, I don't know if you guys heard, what's her name? Dr. Laura. She does a radio show. You know, people call in for psychiatric advice or whatever. And I guess she got into it with a black woman who had called in. And she wound up dropping the N-bomb a couple of times on this woman, and she had to apologize for it today. She kind of, I understood the way, you know, she was using it. She wasn't directing it at the woman. She was just using it in context, I guess you could say, if that's the right term there, but she's catching a lot of flack for it, and she did say a few other things that were kind of pretty off the wall but anyway, like I said, I had uploaded this clip to play and I just lost the switchboard, so bear with me. And now I think it's appropriate just because of what went on yesterday with Dr. Laura. So this is from Clerks 2.
I don't mind people snickering at the stupid uniform I've got to wear, but I'll be damned if I'm going to let some self-righteous lucky turd come in here and treat me and Dante like we're a couple of fucking porch monkeys.
Randall!
I'm sorry, Easy.
He didn't really just say what I think he said.
What? Porch monkeys?
Randall!
What the fuck is wrong with you?
I want my money back right now.
Of course. You know what? Here, take this on us.
No, I'm not eating something that was cooked by some cracker-ass hate monger.
I will. Baby, you can't taste racism.
What racism? Porch monkeys?
You little mother.
Calm down, chap. It ain't worth it.
You lucky my husband done jump across this counter and knock your teeth in.
Why?
Yeah, baby, why? I mean, ain't like he called us porch monkeys.
Hey.
Come on, baby. Stop hitting on me. See, the judge told you about that. You gotta stop putting your hands on me.
Here, take this. This is your money. Please, take the food on us. We're sorry.
Oh, I'm going to write the paper about this and all y'all getting fired up in here.
Well, I'm going to take the food. Thank you very much. Dang it!
Thanks. Come again.
Don't leave me, baby.
Are you out of your fucking mind?
What? What's the big deal? Since when is it a crime to say porch monkey?
Oh, I don't know. Since forever?
Why?
Because porch monkey's a racial slur against black people.
No, it's not. Nigger is.
Randall!
Did Randall just call Mr. Dante a nigger?
Shut up, Elias!
I didn't just call Dante a nigger. I just said that nigger is a racial slur.
So is porch monkey.
Oh, it is not. Coon, spook, spade, mooly, jigaboo, nignog, those are racial slurs. Porch monkey is not.
I'm going to pretend like this conversation didn't happen. Elias, go pick up that fucking mess, and you are this close to getting shit canned.
Get
Shoot me now. What are you doing? Are you trying to get fired?
Since when did porch monkey suddenly become a racial slur?
When ignorant racists started saying it 100 years ago.
Oh, bullshit. My grandmother used to call me a porch monkey all the time when I was a kid because I'd sit on the porch and stare at my neighbors.
Despite the fact that your grandmother might have used it as a term of endearment for you, it's still a racial slur. It'd be like your grandmother calling you a little kike.
Oh, it is not. Plus, my grandmother had nothing but the utmost respect for the Jewish community. When I was a kid, she told me to always treat the Jewish kids well or they'd put the Sheeny curse on me.
What the fuck, man?
What?
Sheeny's a racial slur, too.
Oh, it is not.
Yes, it is.
Well, she never called any Jews Sheeny. She just used to say Sheeny curse a lot. It was cute.
It wasn't cute. It was racist.
I disagree, man. She was just an old-timer. That's the way people talked back then. Didn't mean they were racist. But my grandmother did refer to a broken beer bottle once as a nigger knife. You know, come to think of it, my grandmother was kind of a racist.
You think?
Well, I still don't think porch monkey should be considered a racial term. I mean, I've always used it to describe lazy people, not lazy black people. Oh. I think if we really tried, we could reclaim porch monkey and save it.
It can't be saved, Randall. The sole purpose for its creation, the only reason it exists in the first place, is to disparage an entire race. And even if it could be saved, you can't save it because you're not black.
Well, listen to you. Telling me I can't do something because of the color of my skin? You're the racist. I'm taking it back. You watch. Hey, what can I get for you, little porch monkey? That's cool. I'm taking it back.
There are two things that are really funny about that clip. The first is that when Randall's talking about his grandmother and the way she talked and she was just old, and he says she was just old, it was cute. My great-grandmother was exactly like that. Talked exactly the same way, used all the same terms. And, you know, I can relate to what he's saying that, you know, it was, you thought it was, when you were a young kid, you thought it was kind of cute the way she talked, and, you know, she just kind of rambled off at the, you know, whatever came to mind, and it was funny. If you guys listen to the Wednesday night show, I'm sure you guys all know B23 Blue Pain, who's my friend Brian, who I've known since I'm 3 years old, literally. And we grew up in Bayonne together, right down, you know, he lived at one end of the block and I lived at the other. And when we got a little older, we used to go up and see my great-grandmother. She lived in Jersey City. And the first time he met her, and we're sitting in her kitchen and having lunch, and she's going on and using all those terms. And he almost fell off the chair laughing because he hadn't heard it before. And just to, you know, hear an old person talking like that, you thought it was funny. What can I tell you? So anyway, I thought that would be appropriate to play in honor of Dr. Laura. That's a funny clip from Clerks 2. And a lot of people didn't like that movie. I thought it was funny. I think it's got some great lines in it and some great scenes. Of course, the donkey scene is hysterically disgusting all at the same time. You watch it, but you don't want to watch it, and just the reactions. But the other funny thing about that clip that I just played from Clerks 2 is Dante's facial expressions when he says, "What the fuck, man?" I mean, just the look on his face is just priceless. But can somebody explain to me, Kevin Smith's wife, I understand how she gets into his movies, but am I the only one who just thinks she is just unbelievably unattractive? I mean, even for Kevin Smith, she is. There is something about her, man, that just completely grosses me out. She was in Jay and Silent Bob as well. She plays one of the thieves, but man, she's tough to look at. The answer to your question, Gucci, is I grew up at 41st Street and Avenue C. There's a very ugly brown house that has yet to be condemned, sitting right on the corner, right across the street from the entrance to Bayonne Park. That's where I grew up. I lived there for 11 years. That was where I spent most of my formative years in Bayonne before we moved down the Jersey Shore. And Brian lived at 41st Street and Broadway, right down the block. And his mother still lives in that house, so which I tease him about all the time. And she's But his mom's awesome. We had a lot. We used to have a lot of fun hanging out at his house growing up. So anyway, and oddly enough, a little side note on B23 Blue Pain. He is one of my best friends. Like I said, we grew up together, and our birthdays are one day apart. His birthday is August 23rd. Mine is the 24th. So I keep teasing him that he's going to turn 40 the day before I do. Anyway, so we've got an hour and 15 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. I appreciate you guys spending your Friday night with me. One of the things I want to talk about tonight is I guess the proper term for them is skinny jeans. But to me, I call them asexual jeans because I think they just boys and girls, or guys and girls, whatever you want to say, they both wear them, and it's just completely taken. Girls don't have rear ends anymore. You know, it used to be that, you know, not up until a few years ago, girls wore jeans and they were cut so that, you know, a girl walked by, you turned around, you looked at her butt, and you could judge if it was, she had a nice butt or she didn't have a nice butt. Now, with these new skinny jeans, you can't tell if they have it all looks saggy, and I hate it. I'm not happy with it at all. We need to bring back jeans that are cut to make a girl look like a girl and a guy look like a guy, because right now they all look asexual. I guess it's the emo look is what some people say. What brings this to mind is that my son, he's 18, and he wears these jeans. And, yeah, I was in Jersey, and that's what I've seen a lot of people wearing them in Jersey. They wear them everywhere, girls and guys, and I just don't understand it. Like, it's like we're all getting towards that utopian society that you see on science fiction shows where we all wear the same clothes. We just wear tunics and pants and boots. We're not supposed to all dress the same. Women are supposed to be dressed like women, and men are supposed to be dressed like men. So let me know if you have any thoughts on skinny jeans, asexual jeans. In the meantime, we'll play one more Bruce song before we finish up the Bruce for this evening. Here's one of my favorites from Born to Run, Meeting Across the River.
Cherry says she's gonna walk, cause she found I took the radio and hocked it. But any man, she don't understand that two grand's practically sitting here in my pocket. Tonight's gonna be everything that I said. Then when I walk through that door, I'm just gonna throw that money on the bed. You'll see this time I
gonna go out walking.
What are you looking at?
You know, it's amazing how someone can be so consistently wrong.
I don't believe the things you say.
Because you're an atheist. You don't believe nothing about religion.
Look at what they say when they sneeze.
Who's that, Edie?
The Chinese. I mean, do they say God bless you or Buddha bless you?
You really want to know? The chinks just sneeze and say nothing. They can't speak English.
Oh,
why couldn't they say Buddha bless you in Chinese?
Because they don't say that. That's why. They say, well, if they say anything at all, it's sayonara.
That's Japanese.
Same thing.
It's not the same thing.
What are you talking about? You put a Jap and a chink together, you're going to tell me which is which?
That's right, because I find out about them. I talk to them as individuals.
Sure, you talk to them. You say, which one of you guys is the chink?
I don't believe it. He's making me crazy.
Gosh, I'd like to help you, Peter, but I've got to go out in the hall and chew on the back of my ass for about 5 minutes.
All right, we're back at, what did I do? Okay, all right, accidentally turned on the moderated mode in the chat room. I don't even know what that means. Anyway, we're back, Internet Radio Nowhere. I'm Jim. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. What else were we talking about tonight? I thought this was kind of funny. Pee Wee Herman is back. He's doing a he's been doing a show in a live production of the Pee Wee Herman show in Los Angeles, and he's getting ready to bringing it to Broadway. It's coming to Broadway in November, and he did an interview with Playboy, and they posted an excerpt from it in USA Today, and he's still very he said he's still very hurt and angry about his arrest in 1991. He got arrested for he was masturbating in an adult theater. At least those were the charges. And he claims, I'm going to read this to you. The charge was wrong, and the reason why is because had we gone to trial, we had an expert ready from the Masters and Johnson Institute. I love that. Who was going to testify that in 30 years of research on masturbation, the Institute had never found one person who masturbated with his or her non-dominant hand. I'm right-handed, and the police report said I was jerking off with my left hand. That would have been the end of the case right there, proof that it couldn't have been me. Now, first of all, could you just imagine being in that courtroom and when the lawyer says, we have an expert on masturbation from the Masters and Johnson Institute. How do you take somebody seriously? This guy's going to go to the Masters and Johnson Institute. Should be Masters with Johnson, I guess, Institute. But anyway, but what Pee-wee's claiming is that nobody's ever jerked off with their other hand. Have you ever heard the Andrew Dice Clay joke about you jerk off with your other hand? It's kind of like the palsy hand. He says you use it, you treat it, you pretend like it's a girl, doesn't really know the right movement, doesn't know what it's doing, get the job done, and then you kick it off the bed. I mean, it's such a ridiculous defense, the left-hand defense. I mean, just, you know what, at this point, just admit you were jerking off in the movie theater and move on with your life. I mean, poor Pee Wee Herman, still obsessing on that. He hasn't gotten over it yet. But anyway, speaking of Andrew Dice Clay, as you guys know, I'm a big fan of his still. So here's a little here's a clip from Dice.
So what were you trying to tell me before? What'd you say to me? He's your son. When I was talking about getting my dick sucked. You're sucking your kid's dick? You little filthy animal. Hey, it reminds you of Dad when he was a little younger, eh? Sucking on the apple-headed fucking monster, you motherfucker. I like your mother. I like her lie. You sucker. That's great. How do you bring your mother? All right, forget about her being nuts enough to sit in the front row. Where's your fucking brain to bring mommy to see the most vile, disgusting, foul-mouthed blob to ever prance on a stage? You want to know something? I figured it out already. It was her idea. Because she's a horny little animal. Look at her with them big fucking tits. Mommy's got big fucking tits. You know, nice, nice tits. Don't worry. I throw a little salt on your fucking nipples. I lick them. They get all hot and nice. You know what I mean? It's great when families come to see me. Because a lot of people, they say to me, you know, Dice, you're not a family act. And he uses. Right here, you know, you're rubbing your prick a little. She's got a little pussy over there covered up nice. You're going to have a good time after this fucking show. I'm foreplay for you and mommy, huh? Did you ever look at him like this? You ever jerk him off in the bathtub when he hit like 12, 13 just to get him started? You know what I'm saying, sweetheart? I mean, you seem like a good mother, you know? Teach your son, you know, you don't want to get disease. You don't want to walk around with venereal wounds. Let mommy jerk you off a little here. I tell you the truth, it was a very sad day in my life, the day my mother said, today, you're going to have to go in the potty. And I looked at my mother like, wait, whoa, hold it. You want me to wipe my own ass? I don't do that. And besides, you do it so good, you know what I mean? The way you sprinkle the powder all over my cock, you know what I mean? Nice. Then again, I was 17 at the time it happened. So that's nice that you're here as a family. Wouldn't you like to see them afterwards? Maybe driving back to the hotel you're at or something. Nobody's looking at each other in the car. All right, sometimes families make mistakes. I heard he was a little off color. You know what I mean? But don't worry, this is all in good fun. You know what I mean? You know that. You'd think I believe you suck your own kid's fucking brick. You do look familiar, though. You ever been on Springer? He's sexy. I like your mother. She's nice. You got sisters in the family? You fuck her, too? Everybody's fucking everybody. Everybody's over here, over there. Never had to leave the house. Never had to take a chick out. Beautiful. I like you. I got a lot of respect for you. You're a good guy. I like you like that.
Jackie Gleason, The Honeymooners, with the stars Art Carney, Audrey Meadows, and Joyce Randolph.
They sure work hard, don't they, Barney?
Yeah. I hate to see them work so hard.
Yeah, me too.
Let's go around back.
Well, we can't see them.
Gee, we ought to do something, Fred.
Okay. How's about taking a nap?
I got a better idea. Let's take a Winston break.
That's it. Winston is the one filter cigarette that delivers flavor 20 times a pack. Winston's got that filter blend.
Yeah, Fred. Filter blend makes the big taste difference, and only Winston has it up front where it counts. Here, ahead of the pure white filter. Winston packs rich tobaccos specially selected and specially processed for good flavor in filter smoking.
Yeah, Barney, Winston tastes good like a cigarette.
Sure.
The Flintstones has been brought to you by Winston, America's best-selling, best-tasting filter cigarette.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
And we had the pagans in Britain, because you didn't really have the pagans here. You had the Native Americans, and it was much more of a warrior, aboriginal type existence. And we had the pagans. They were into sex, death, and religion in an interesting nighttime telly type of way. And we had the druids, long white robes, long white beards, early transvestites, didn't get their shaving together. And they built Stonehenge, one of the biggest henges in the world. No one's built a henge like that ever since. No one knows what the fuck a henge is. Before Stonehenge, there was Woodhenge and Strawhenge. But a big bad wolf came and blew them down. And three little piggies were relocated to the projects. But they built Stonehenge. And it's built in an area called Salisbury Plain in the south of England. And the area of Salisbury Plain where they built it is very... because that's good, you know, it's a mystical thing. Build it in a mystical area. You don't want to build it in an area that's... Now you build Trump Tower. But yeah, so they built it there. And the stones are 50 foot high, 30 foot long, 20 foot deep, and other measurements as well. And the stones are not from round there. That's the amazing thing. I mean, remember, this is B.C. This is before the B.C. A.D. changeover, when everyone was going... You didn't have to wind your watch back. You had to get a new bloody watch. Well, it's A.D., is it now? Fuck it, I don't know. And the Muslim people going, A.D., who's he? Yes. Good laughter. So yeah, the stones are from 200 miles away in Wales. So these guys in Wales were obviously carving the rocks out of the very living mountain. Oh, fantastic, building a henge, are we? That's a fantastic idea. It's a marvelous religion the druids have got. Yes, a lot of white clothing, I like that. There we go. They smash out a huge stone, and then they put tree trunks down to roll it along on. All right, walk it along. Here we go, here we go. Help you push them along, all right. It's not far, is it? And the druid's going, heave, everyone, heave. Well done, everyone. You're doing very well. You'll love it when you see it. I've seen some of the drawings already. It's very special. After 200 miles, you fucking bastards. You never told us 200 miles. 200 miles in this day and age? I don't even know where I live now. I wish the Christians would hurry up and get here. And they set all the stones up, and the druid's still there tinkering around, going, no, that stone and this one, can we swap them round?
That was Eddie Izzard from his HBO, well, I guess it was an HBO special called Dressed to Kill. And if you've never seen his stand-up, it's pretty funny, especially Dressed to Kill is really good. If you... He comes out and he's a, what does he call himself? He's dressed in women's clothes, but he calls himself a male lesbian, I think is how he refers to himself. He's really funny. And most of his stand-up act is improvised. He just kind of goes from topic to topic. He doesn't really rehearse an act, and he just gets up on stage and just goes. And he's really funny. And Dressed to Kill is a really good special. He's got some really funny bits. I have one other one from Eddie Izzard that I'll play in a little while. And he's done some acting. He was in I think Ocean's 12 and 13, and he was on that FX show The Riches, which was okay for the first couple weeks that I watched it, and then I got sick of it. But so that was Eddie Izzard, and then before that we had the Flintstones. Their infamous Winston commercial from the 60s, which is just it's pretty funny because that type of thing is just unimaginable now. I mean, could you imagine, you know, the Simpsons doing a cigarette commercial for Marlboro or something like that? There would be a massive outcry. So that commercial always makes me laugh. And before that, we had the theme song from the Honeymooners. And if you grew up with Channel 11 back in the 80s, like I did, watching those reruns every night, you know that song pretty well. And we talk, if you listen to Blue Sharp Banner Radio, you know we talk about the Honeymooners all the time. It's one of our, it's one of Eddie and my our favorite shows and of all time. So we're frequently referencing them. Like,
what do you
now
mean I'm not an expert?
I'm not going to help you make an idiot out of yourself.
I don't need your help. I'll do it myself. Somewhere in this world, there was a straitjacket waiting for that man.
Just some good lines from the Honeymooners there. All right, we got 55 minutes to go. So far, we are dead air free. That was my goal for this evening. So far, we're we're hanging in there. Eddie's on vacation again. He is headed off to the Finger Lakes for some pioneer life. He's staying in a cabin, him and his wife, and I think his dad's going. So he'll be up there for the week. He'll actually be calling us from the Finger Lakes on Wednesday night when we interview Ron Greshner on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. And I don't know about you guys, but I am very excited to talk to Ron. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. I think he'll have some good stories to tell. He's already been on with Paulie D. He was on with Nick Fatio. They were both on the Paulie D show a few months back, and that was a great episode. If you go to Paulie D's website, you can catch his podcast on that. So we got Ron Greshner coming up next week. And then the week after, we're going to have Emil Francis is going to return to the show, which, like I've been saying, he's my favorite guest, without a doubt, of the guests we've had. I love talking to him, and he's a real pleasure to talk to. So we're going to have him on next week. And if you're a regular listener of the show, you know we always like to surprise Emil with someone from his past. And next week, this will be no different. We've got former New York Ranger defenseman Rod Sealing will be calling in while we have Emil on the phone. So it'll be interesting to hear what the two of them have to say. Rod played for Emil for about 10 years. Emil made the trade for Rod Sealing to get him from the Leafs. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. So we got some guests coming up the next couple weeks, which is good because we've kind of hit the doldrums of hockey season. So it's good that we'll have some guests to talk to get us through. And before you know it, training camp's only what do we got? A month? I think a month from Sunday, training camp starts. So hockey is just around the corner. Football is almost here. Monday night is the big Jets-Giants game. They're going to open up the new stadium, which I still don't think has a name yet. I think they're still referring to it as the new Meadowlands Stadium. Of course, to me, it'll always be the new Giants Stadium. So they're gonna get it on Monday night on I think it's on ESPN. I'm looking forward to that. I've booked my trip for the Giants-Texans game in Houston in October. I'll be going to that game with a couple of friends of mine out here in Phoenix. We'll be flying into Houston and hanging out there for the weekend and going to the game on Sunday. I can't wait for that. So the only bad part about that is that is also opening weekend for the Rangers. I'm leaving Phoenix on Saturday, and the opening game is against Buffalo Saturday night. And then Monday we're flying back to Phoenix, and the Rangers are playing Monday afternoon. I want to say it's against I think that game is against the Islanders. They're playing Monday afternoon, which Columbus Day. So I don't know yet how I'm going to get to see the first two games of the season for the Rangers. I may have to TiVo them both and just watch them as soon as I come home. Obviously, I'll know the result, but I'll have to TiVo them and just to see how they did. So we've got about 53 minutes to go. If you guys want to call in, again, the number is 646-478-4692. If you want to weigh in on the topics of the day, we talked about skinny jeans, asexual jeans, where did women's butts go? I want them back. Emo jeans, whatever you want to call them. I think we're getting to the point where guys and girls look exactly the same from behind, and that's not good, folks. That's not good. Not good for anybody. And and we talked about Pee Wee Herman because he can't use his left hand, which is tragic for him, I guess. And we covered the Knicks, the Rangers, the Mets. We covered a bunch of different topics. So if you guys want to call in, go right ahead, 646 478 4692. Second half of the show, so we get into a little bit of Jimmy Buffett. Here's the Ballad of Skip Wylie.
He's a man on a mission, wild as a ricochet. Picture if you can when the Everglades ran from the Gulf Coast to Biscayne Bay. He's gonna give it back to the Gators, lock the tourists up in theme parks and zoos. He's fishing me for lunch at the Reptile Brunch, where the barometer soup is you. He's crazy and dangerous, but who else can you trust? He's the outlaw and all of us, the environmental terrorist. You can mess with that mouse in Orlando. Epic proportions, all part of Skip Wylie's crusade. Tourists were cacking and tourists were packing while he and Skip cooled their heels in the shade. Then came the citrus sensation. Welcome to the revolution, he said. With a pirate's persona, he snatched the gridiron Madonna and the big movers called for his head. He's crazy and dangerous, but who else can you trust? He's the outlaw in all of us, the environmental terrorist. You can mess with that mouse in Orlando. Kind of backfired. Got the orange juice barons rather upset. In the light of bad moods, these manhunts and suits Skip easily slipped through the net. He was last seen atop of a mangrove, perched like a wounded osprey. He was not meant to last. He belongs to the past, and I hope he gets there one day.
Crazy and dangerous,
but who else?
That song is it's called The Ballad of Skip Wylie, and that is based on a character, Skip Wylie, who is in a Carl Hiaasen book. The name of the book is Tourist Season. And if you've never read Carl Hiaasen, his books are pretty good. They all take place. He was a writer. I think he still is a writer for the Miami Herald. And his books always take place in Florida. They usually have something to do with the environment. It's usually involved with someone doing damage to the environment in Florida. And they're always full of just crazy characters. And his books are pretty good. I highly recommend them if you've never read them. If you've ever seen that atrocious movie Striptease with Demi Moore and Burt Reynolds, that was also based on a Carl Hiaasen book, although the book is much, much better than the movie. The movie was just awful. The book is actually really good. I think the problem with his books is, to me anyway, his books are filled with, like I said, just crazy characters, and there's just a lot of wacky shit going on in his books that when you read it in a book, it comes off as funny and it comes off as somewhat believable, but when you try, it just doesn't translate to the screen well. At least that's my opinion. I thought Striptease, like I said, it's a great book, and Burt Reynolds plays a Florida senator in the book or in the movie, and the senator is a real whack job, and he's into some real kinky stuff. And in the book, it all comes off as plausible, but when they put it on screen, it just kind of made Burt Reynolds look like a real buffoon, and it just didn't come across well in the movie. Yes, I will agree with you, Coffee. Showgirls is much worse than Striptease. Showgirls would get my vote for maybe the worst movie I've ever seen, if I had to pick one. Not even seeing girls make out help save that movie. And Elizabeth Berkley, just a bad body. She just didn't have a good body. I mean, there was just something about it. She's just not built very well. She's just tall. I think that's it. But she was gangly looking. She can't act. It's awful. But you know what? For some reason, I've seen that movie about six times. And it's just terrible. I don't know. Maybe I keep watching it. Maybe it'll make sense, or maybe it'll get better, but it doesn't. It's a horrible movie. And yes, it's worse than Striptease. But I recommend Carl Hiaasen's books if you're looking for somebody new to check out. There's another author out there. His name is Tim Dorsey. Tim Dorsey was a writer for the Tampa Tribune, and he also writes books that they all take place in Florida. Most of his books are centered around a serial killer named Serge Storms, who's a serial killer, but he only kills people who really, really deserve it. And that's an actual line from one of the books. But if you ever want to start with Tim Dorsey, the first one to get is Florida Roadkill. That's the start of the series, and then it pretty much goes from there. But he kind of jumps around chronologically, but if you start with Florida Roadkill, you'll kind of get the characters and everything. The book actually starts, if I'm not mistaken, it starts the night the Marlins win the World Series over the Cleveland Indians. And it's his books are really funny. I like him even more than Carl Hiaasen. So if you're ever looking for if you're a reader, an avid reader like I am, and you're looking for something different, I recommend Tim Dorsey or Carl Hiaasen. So and Carl Hiaasen actually on that song that I played, the Ballad of Skip Wylie clip, Carl Hiaasen is in the background with he's credited with the clapping. So he actually gets a credit on the liner notes for the Jimmy Buffett CD that's on. He helps with the clapping. So anyway, we'll get back to some of the comedy clips that we have here. Here's another one from we'll try this. We'll play this other Eddie Izzard one for you guys. This is pretty good. This is all about Star Wars.
But we play bad guys. Like take the Empire Strikes Back from the Star Wars trilogy. And the Death Star, just full of British actors opening doors and going, what is it, Lieutenant Sebastian? It's just the rebels, sir. They're here. My God, man. Do they want tea? No, I think they're after something more than that, sir. I don't know what it is, but they've brought a flag. Damn, that's Dash cutting him there. Ah, Lord Vader.
Hello.
Because he was only impressive because he had that James L. Jones voice.
I am Vader. The Force is strong with you. If he had much more, hello.
Look, I'm Lord Vader, and just pay a bloody attention, all right?
Luke, the Force is strong with you.
Is it? Yeah. Well, who told you that?
Some bloke. Yeah, he said the Force is really rather strong with you.
Well, how strong?
As strong as a small pony.
Oh, that's quite strong, that is. Film would never fucking work, would it? Yeah. Red the Witcher!
Occupation?
Gladiator.
Did you kill last week?
No.
Did you try to kill last week?
Yeah.
Now listen, this is your last week of unemployment insurance. Either you kill somebody next week or we're going to have to change your status. You got it?
Yeah.
Sign.
Next.
Occupation?
Stand-up philosopher.
What?
Stand-up philosopher. I coalesce the vapor of human experience into a viable and logical comprehension.
Oh. A bullshit artist.
Did you bullshit last week?
No.
Did you try to bullshit last week?
Yes.
Comicus! 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 Back in the line.
He's not in line. He's not in line. He's my agent, Swiftus. Good news. I just got you a job.
Now that you're working, you won't be needing this.
Wait a minute. That money is mine.
I'm sorry, I'm on my wine break.
Dopus!
We had a clip in there from History of the World Part 1, which is one of my favorite comedies of all time. I like Mel Brooks's movies, but to me that's my favorite. I just think that's the funniest one. It's got the best lines. Like I've said before on this show, I think that's how you best judge a comedy, which one has the lines that just never stop being funny. And that movie, you know, the lines just never stop being funny. Like when they're in the palace with the scenes with Dom DeLuise, when he's just laying there as Caesar, and he says, "Okay, faggot, what's next?" Did he say big fat pig? I'll have to get some more History of the World Part 1 clips for the next time we do this, whenever this might be. And as far as Mel Brooks goes, I like Blazing Saddles. I thought The Producers was funny. The original movie, not the remake with Nathan Lane. The Producers is a funny movie just for the springtime for Hitler bit. And the looks on everyone's faces when they're on stage doing the springtime for Hitler musical number is just priceless. Spaceballs is a good movie, but I didn't think it was as good as some of his other ones. Robin Hood Men in Tights has a few good lines in it, especially at the end when Patrick Stewart shows up and he kisses the queen, and Mel Brooks says, "Oh, it's good to be the king," which of course is from History of the World Part 1. And we got a call on the line, so let's see who this. Oh shit! Damn switchboard. Here we go. 973-296. You are on Internet Radio Nowhere. Who's this?
It's Coochie Wally, Jim.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Coochie?
Good, good. I was listening to you talking about the History of the World. Now with the producers, which one do you think was better though, the remake or the original one with what's his name? Fucking
Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder, thank you.
It was Gene Wilder and I want to say Zero Mostel. No, I like the original better. I don't have a problem with Nathan Lane. I just thought the original was better. I mean, that's really The Producers. It's not a great. I didn't think it was a great movie. I just like the springtime for Hitler part because people are just the looks on their faces. They're so astonished that they're doing a musical about Hitler is what makes that funny.
Oh, and how could you hate Spaceballs though? That was probably one of his best movies that he made.
I didn't say I hated it. I just said I didn't like it as much as the other ones. I don't know. It was a little too cutesy for me, you know. And Joan Rivers is in it, and I can't stand Joan Rivers. And I don't know. It just didn't. I just don't think it's as funny as the other ones.
All right.
It's okay though. Well, it's. I mean, I'll watch it if it's on, but it's not like. It's not my favorite. I could watch History of the World Part 1 if I had to. I could watch that movie every day the rest of my life and still laugh at it.
Oh, definitely. That's great. My favorite part of the movie is when they start breaking out singing during the Inquisition.
I almost uploaded that clip to play, and I'm like, you know, that whole montage is like, it's like 9 minutes long, and I'm like, I don't know if everybody's going to know what it's from, and, you know, even though I think it's funny, and, you know, I'll have it for next time, since you mentioned it, you know what it is, I'll get that one for next time, but yeah, I love that, I like that one too, with Jackie Mason, so I'm sitting plicking chickens, and I'm looking through the pickings, when suddenly these girls break down my balls, I didn't even know them, and they grabbed me by my scrotum, and they started playing ping pong with my balls, oh, the agony. Oy, the shame to make my privates public for a game. Will you confess? No, 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 no. Yeah, that's a great part of the movie. But and the whole Caesar thing is great too with Dom DeLuise, and then when Gregory Hines rolls the super joint papyrus.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just that whole movie is just with the whole thing with the piss boy. You look like the piss boy. And you look like a bucket of shit. It's just got a lot of great lines in that movie. That's what makes it so good.
Oh, and what's cool. Another thing I want to talk about, because I know, you know, we're going to have Ron next week and then Neil the week after that, is that next week the NHL is actually testing out the potential changes that they want to do.
Right.
Did you go over like the list of stuff that they're looking at doing?
Actually, no, I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, some of this stuff is like pretty, like, you know, a little ridiculous. One of them was no icing with the puck while you're shorthanded.
No, they want to take away icing the puck when you're shorthanded?
Yeah.
Oh, see, that's ridiculous.
Like, you know, I'm just reading a little bit. Another one, a new face-off variation where I guess they would do it like, you know, like what, you know how they do it in like badminton, like in midgets, where they just place the puck and then they blow a whistle and you go at it at the face off.
Really? Okay,
yeah.
I'm looking at. I'm trying to. I just pulled up the story here from NHL.com. The hybrid icing rule. Okay. A verification goal line, an additional line situated behind the goal line, wider blue lines, three face-off dots down the middle of the ice, overtime, 3 minutes of 4-on-4, 3 minutes of 3-on-3, 3 minutes of 2-on-2?
Yeah.
2-on-2?
I mean,
Jesus.
That right there is ridiculous if you're going to the Garden. I mean, no one wants to sit, you know, I'm happy to sit there for the 5 minutes, and then it goes into the shootout, and then, you know, if it goes longer in the shootout, all right, you know, oh, well, I don't want to sit there for 4-on-4, 3-on-3, 2-on-2, and then go into a shootout.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, no touch icing. Team that commits an offside infraction cannot make a line change, and a face-off is an offending team zone.
I don't mind that one, except for the line changing part. Maybe put the face off in the offending team zone.
How about this one? After a face off violation, the opposition center may choose his face off opponent.
Yeah.
We'll see Derek Bugard taking a lot of face offs next year.
Yeah, exactly. The stuff they want to do. I'm like, all right, I want that guy to take the face off.
Yeah, these are kind of. No line change for a team committing an offside. Just looking to see if there's any other ones here that stick out. Second referee located off the playing surface. So they would take the second referee off the ice?
I think what they would have maybe they would have a line, you know, the line, two lines, and two refs, and maybe another ref.
Oh, okay.
You know,
see, I'd be all for taking a...
Of.
I'd be all for taking a referee off the ice. I just think there's too many people on the ice as it is.
Yeah.
A bigger crease. Interesting. Yeah. Sounds like they're trying to screw up the game further.
it's like, once I saw the no icing, the pop ball shorthand, I said, I'm like, so basically you just basically want like a 5 minute power play going on.
Right.
All the time.
I mean, 2-on-2. I mean, guys will be. They'll have to take 10-second shifts. They'll be exhausted from all the ice they have to cover. Who came up with these ideas?
I have no. I was looking at it on Wednesday, and I was going to call in on Wednesday with it, but then it just, you know, I just got
I'm going to bookmark this so we can talk about it Wednesday night, and maybe we'll mention some of it to Gresher, because I actually hadn't heard about this. I've in the last week or so, I've just been kind of. Out of touch with hockey a little bit, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, well, I thought
they were actually doing it this week. They were having the scrimmages this week, but it actually starts next Wednesday and Thursday when they do it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll see if we can talk about that Wednesday night. Maybe we'll talk about it with Gresh, and then we can even talk about it with Emil Francis and get his thoughts on it. I'm sure he won't have a lack of things to say, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Especially like with all this stuff, some of it's just ridiculous. I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't even know how you'd even, like, I don't know what the hybrid icing rule would be. You know, what is, you know, whether if, you know, if, you know, the guy's going to, you know, be there in time to get the puck, you know, they won't call it or something, or they'll let, you know, if the guy's trailing too far behind them, they'll let the icing go. But if they're rushing for it, you know, they'll see who touches the puck first, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look into it and see if I can find some more information on it. So, all right, Cooch, we'll see you Wednesday night, and thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
All right, no problem.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, talk to you again.
All right, bye. All right. I see Frosty, a man of his word. He never misses a show. He fell asleep after Dickie. I've known a few girls like that, Frosty. All right, Frosty, as promised, here I asked my wife last night for a selection, and here's what she came up with. I hope you like it.
Thank you.
I was sitting last night uploading clips, trying to put the show together for tonight, and I said to my wife, I said one of our loyal, most loyal listeners, maybe our most loyal listener, I said, wants me to play a Kiss song. I said, you're the expert. I said, give me a Kiss song to download that's a good song. I said, but one that maybe I don't know. And without batting an eye, she said, it's got to be Deuce. So that's the one I put in. I'm glad you approve of the selection. I have to admit, I'm not a Kiss fan. That song's good. That's a good song. I'm not gonna lie to you. And they have some other songs that I like, but I don't know. I just never got into them. Maybe if I really just sat and listened to a few of their CDs, I'd probably get into them at least on a small scale, but. I don't know. Just never, for whatever reason, I just never got into Kiss. But anyway, Frosty, thanks for coming in tonight. I appreciate it. I know you were worn out. You were worn out by the Dickie. So I appreciate you making it in. I know it's late for you. I know you're up early in the morning. I'd like you to hear the song Going Blind. Okay. I will download that song and listen to it, and I'll see what I think. Or maybe my wife might even have it on her MP3 player. She's got a lot of Kiss on there, so. Well, and Frosty, you say either you like them or you hate them, and I'm kind of neither. I don't like them or hate them. I think it's just a matter of I haven't listened to enough of them, probably. So, Coffee says they put on a good live show, but their lack of musical talent gets in the way. that might be fighting words for Frosty. Anyway, we got about just a little more than 20 minutes to go. Internet Radio Nowhere, we're winding down on a Friday night here, Friday the 13th. I appreciate you kicking off your weekend with me. I hope you have a good weekend planned. Tomorrow I'll be heading over to some friends' houses for a birthday party, and we'll be playing some Halo. the usual routine is we go over there early in the day when it's blazing hot. And even though they have a pool, we sit inside and we'll play Halo on the Xbox because his kids, they don't have an Xbox 360. I do, so I bring my Xbox over there, and his kids absolutely love playing Halo. So we all sit, we play Halo until about 4 or 5 o'clock when the sun starts to go down and it cools off a little bit. And then we shut the game off. We go out in the pool for about 4 or 5 hours after it cools off, and we bring a cooler of beer right out there in the pool with us. And that's pretty much our routine. So that's what I'll be doing tomorrow. And Sunday will just be just a day of rest, I think. So hopefully you guys have a good weekend plan. Like I said, I appreciate you starting off with me. And let's a little more comedy here. Here's another one of my favorites from Bob Newhart.
I mentioned before the number of jobs I held. I was in service. In 1952 to 1954, the Army, actually. And it didn't take me long to realize that in large corporations, and especially the military, the Peter principle seems to apply more than anywhere else. A man literally can be promoted fully 3 or 4 levels above his competency in the military. And this was illustrated by a record routine about a captain on a nuclear submarine who had been, I know some of you know these routines by heart, but it throws me off to watch your lips move along with mine as I'm doing it. Anyway, it was one of the most disastrous trips ever taken by a submarine. And the captain got up and he gave an address to the men after they had completed their 2-year around the world trip. And he's making these remarks just as they're about to surface. Man, in a few minutes, you're going to be reunited with your loved ones and in some cases, your wives. Well, I may not have phrased that correctly, but I think you may know what I meant there. I've just jotted down a couple things regarding our trip. First of all, I'd like you to give the cooks a standing ovation. It is a tremendously difficult job on a submarine. You men want to stand now for the cooks? Come on now, men. Let's let bygones be bygones and hear it for the cooks. That's a little better. As we're adding another glorious page to the already illustrious history of the USS Codfish, I don't know if you men know this, the Codfish holds the record for the most Japanese tonnage sunk, being comprised of 5 freighters and 5 aircraft carriers. Unfortunately, they were all sunk in 1954 when we were no longer at war with the Japanese. However, it stands as one of the largest peacetime tonnages ever sunk. Oh, we've just been officially notified. We have cut a full 2 minutes off the previous record of 4 minutes and 29 seconds in surfacing, firing at the tow target, and then resubmerging. And I just want to congratulate you men on the precision and the teamwork you displayed at that time. At the same time, I don't in any way dislike the contribution made by the men we had to leave on deck. I think they in no small way had an awful lot to do with the 2 minutes we were able to take off the record, and I doubt if any of us will soon forget their somewhat stunned expressions as as we watched them through the periscope. Man, nobody enjoys a joke more than I do. However, I would like the executive officer returned. We've looked all over the ship. We looked in your duffel bags, in the torpedo tubes. You know, we're lucky it wasn't a navigational officer, but I think there's a principle involved here. Looking back on the mutiny, I think a lot of the problem there stemmed from the fact that you men weren't coming to me with your problems. As I tried to explain to you as we started out, the door to my office is always open. I think you know why it's always open. That was stolen. I'd like that returned. Could be the work of the same man. I don't know. Since we started the trip on such a low note, I'd like to end it on a high note. And to me, there's nothing more impressive in the Navy than as a submarine just breaks water to see a bunch of sailors in their dress blues as they come rushing up out of the the hole in the front of the boat. Hatch, thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, all right. I just been notified we are going to be surfacing, and within a minute or two, you're going to be gazing once again on the familiar skyline of either New York City, or is that Buenos Aires? I can't make out your writing. Thank you very much, man.
New York Islanders, oh no. Yummy, yummy, yummy cupcake. Yummy, yummy cupcake. Fuck that shit.
There you go, Cutter. There's your clip. You asked for it. You got it. Frosty, I totally agree with you. Bob Newhart is very overlooked as a comic genius. I love his old stand-up, and I've talked about it before here on the show. Some of it, I played a few clips. I played the King Kong one last 2 weeks ago, and last week I played his famous Abe Lincoln and Madison Avenue clip. And he doesn't really get enough credit for his stand-up, but like I've said before, it's really good.
Papa was alone, alone.
Roosevelt High School, beautiful, a fully integrated educational institution, which of course meant 6,000 black guys and me. And then I hit puberty. That made things worse because my penis never got any bigger. I mean, I was hung like a 3-year-old. Hey, seriously, these guys had rhinoceros penises. Huge. You know, I've heard black men complain that they're unfairly stereotyped. Man, I'd love to have a stereotype like that.
Private Parts. Love that movie. All right, 15 minutes to go. So far, no dead air. We're doing good. I don't really have anything else. We covered a lot of different topics tonight. And, Boss Fan, I appreciate you joining us, but you missed the You missed Bruce. I usually do Bruce in the first hour of the show, and then the second hour I usually do Jimmy Buffett and mix in a few more comedy bits. So unfortunately, you have missed the Bruce block for this evening. You know, I try and mix it up. What can I tell you?
I guess being a hero isn't always about saving lives or catching bad guys. It's also about just being there for the people you love.
Help! Someone just stole my purse!
Who cares? I don't even know you.
I'm one of the few people that loves Los Angeles. I've lived here for, I don't know how long, but I moved here from Miami. I like either coast. You have to be on the coast, though. People complain,
it's so expensive.
Yeah, I know. Good. You can't afford to live here, move to the middle of the country. That's what it's for. People that gave up on their dreams. Well, does that sting a little for some of you? Fucking go back to Kansas City and enjoy your meth habit. Are you from Kansas City? Did I nail it? God damn, I fucking nailed it. That's not even a joke. They do meth in Kansas City. I'll take the last place I want to be awake for 3 days, Alex. What is Kansas City? Yeah. Little country show. I mean, I'm sorry. It's where you live, but it's painful. There's no reason to be there. You live in the Missouri side, I take it.
Missouri side.
Right, which is like fucking like, you're like, please, the fucking, you know. The side of the shit that doesn't have corn in it. It's not Nebraska. South Dakota. That's awful. South Dakota is the first state in our country to make abortion completely illegal. Doesn't affect me, though. Good luck finding someone in South Dakota that I'd fuck. Pigs, that whole state. I'm not a bleeding heart liberal either. Like, a lot of people think I am not. There's a lot of issues I'm conservative on. Death penalty, I'm for it. And people always say, well, what if you put to death an innocent man? And to that I say, good. It's worked out for us in the past. Am I right, Christians? John 3:16. I'm pretty sure you can't moan at that. I think I have to get the other cheek or something. And I do think that the poor, I don't really care for the poor. I have a charity. It's called Febreze the Homeless. It's not what you think. What I go around and I Febreze homeless people. Is that what you thought it was? Nice. Who would you give a dollar to? The guy that smells like liquid garbage or ocean breeze? Is that lavender? Get over here. Like, you really are better off in this country murdering your wife than screwing with a dog. That's another level of... I mean, I've wanted to kill a human today. I've never wanted to hurt your dog. I'll kick the shit out of your cat, but not a dog. Like, I'm not a monster. Michael Vick could have killed 6,000 cats, and people would have been like, you know they're overpopulated, right? Come on. It's football season. I want to watch them scramble. I bet no more wrestlers' wives accuse their husband of having a fake job. Does that feel fake? That's how I end most of my jokes. Nobody likes Chris Benoit. I'm pretty sure they're waking up in the morning going, he said what? No, I'm fucking not going in today. Seriously, how many sick days do we get? Let's use them. In this scenario, the Secret Service live in a dormitory. And they talk to each other before they go to work. I would like to think that I possess the characteristics to be a member of the Secret Service, but I'm really scared that on the application, question one is, are you a pussy? I'm like, yes. And they're like, okay, well then you have to work at Cold Stone. Well then, dollar tip! Tip, tip, hooray! I don't know the songs yet, but I'll learn them. I can't wait to get the forearms. Yeah, you want your toppings chopped up, don't you? I'm tapping out, boss. I can't do a full shift. God damn it, this ice cream's heavy. Dollar, dollar, tip! God, I love that place. Do you know that? Do you know, you go in there, if you tip them, they'll sing? It's like five different songs they'll sing. I know it because I walked in there with a wad of cash and I made it rain. Sing, motherfucker, sing! again? Make you reevaluate every decision you've ever made. This is the most generous asshole ever. Tip, tip, hooray. With enthusiasm, fuck knuckle, that's a dollar. I want my experience. Make it rain. That's such a great expression. Thank you, rappers. Yeah, that's basically when you throw cash on the hose. Pretty cool. I came up with my own. I like to make it hail. That's when you throw change at sluts. What the fuck? Were those quarters? Yeah, I'm a baller on a budget. I like to make it hail. That's when you throw change at sluts.
Daniel Tosh. I've been talking about Daniel Tosh now for a couple of weeks on the show, and I've just recently gotten into Tosh.0. Love that show. He's funny as hell. And he's coming to Phoenix the end of September, so I'm hoping I'm going to be able to get to see him. There's still tickets available, so I'm hoping to be able to catch him when he comes here. We have a couple of new guests here tonight. Boss Fan has joined us, as has Kevin Canessa. And if you haven't seen KC and 60 on Showvio, make sure you check it out. Kevin is a Devils fan, but he's okay anyway. We like Kevin. He's a good guy, and he's actually his family is an old family friend of mine. So Kevin's a good guy, and he's also very close to Sid Rosenberg, who was a guest on Blue Shirt Banner Radio, and you guys probably know him from WFAN, and he used to do the Giants pregame show. So we love Sid. We love Kevin. Thank you guys for showing up. And Boss Fans, since you missed the first half of the show, I will play this just for you.
Thank you.
Out in the Streets, Bruce Springsteen. Like most Bruce Springsteen songs, that one is best heard live, but couldn't find a real good live version clip that sounded good, so we'll stick with the version from off the CD. But we are down to just about 2.5 minutes to go. And just to recap what we talked about last week, you guys remember I was celebrating hard last Friday night because of the firing of my boss. And it was kind of a weird week in work this week. I was gone Monday and Tuesday. I was in Nashville for a seminar, which was a lot of fun. But so I was only in the office 3 days this week. It was kind of weird. It was kind of like there was the boss was gone, but he wasn't really gone. It was like an 800-pound elephant still in the room. Like everybody was – nobody wanted to just stand up and say, God, I'm glad that son of a bitch got fired. But I'm not afraid to say it. God, I'm glad that son of a bitch got fired. So anyway, we're gonna wrap things up. Again, I appreciate you guys listening tonight. It's been a lot of fun. And I don't know when or we'll be back. If Eddie decides to do his own thing next Friday night, then he will get his time slot back. If not, well, then maybe I'll be back. Who knows? But we will see you Wednesday night on Blue Shirt Banner Radio when we will welcome, finally, the great Ron Greshner to the show. And then in 2 weeks, or actually a week and a half, the great Emil Francis once again will join us on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. So to all of you, I wish you a happy weekend, and we will see you Wednesday night. And I'm going to play that Beck song from last week again, just because I like it. Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend.
To my burying ground.